Don't tread on my father, don't tread on my guts, don't you tread on my faith in God's only son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Come, gonna take a stand, spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns, don't you tread on my faith in God's only son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I'll dance your fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Everybody, welcome back into the show. Third and final hour of Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. This is Tuesday, January 30th, 2024 edition. Let's see. Benny. Linda. What is the Computers Geek's phone number and website? Well, I'm going to pull that up for you right now. It is legendarysystems.net. Legendarysystems is plural, .net. But it's best if you just give them a call. Phone number to Jonathan Deke, the computer geek, is 231-818-8349. So I'll text a clickable, dialable link for you, Linda. And you'll just be able to click on it, and it will dial it for you. Then all you have to do is hit send or call. I guess there's no more send buttons on cell phones, are there? No, you just dial it. So definitely check them out online. Are you having IT issues? You need your computer repaired remotely, or do you want to get his VPN, virtual private network, set up on your phone or your computer? Just text me back your answer. But it's legendary, I'm going to spell it out, systems is plural, .net. There we go. Best managed security service provider in the United States of America, based right out of Michigan. So greatly appreciate that. Okay, one of the things I think we're looking at here, too, and you have to understand, Chris listening said, class, never mind, I got it. I'm going to send it to you anyway just to make sure that you have the updated website for it, because we did extend the registration until this Friday. Now, this is based on us only having 8 books left. So I just want to make sure you're aware of that. But if you can get to it today, I think it's probably going to sell out by tomorrow or Wednesday or Thursday at the latest. So try to get to that website as soon as possible. Okay, that was sent to Chris. I want to make sure that went to Chris. And Linda says, I want to know if he helps to set up a new Android phone. And our computer needs some help. Got it. Okay, yeah, you know what? Give him a call, because you got a couple of issues there. The website's great for a reference if you're just placing an order. Be sure to mention Trucker Randy, though, because Jonathan gives a discount for my listeners. So make sure you mention Trucker Randy in our show. Let's see. I will get back to her during the break. Linda says, okay, I'll give him a call. Perfect. One of the things that we're looking at, and it's kind of interesting, the direction, is how the State of the State address is being perceived. And it's kind of an interesting take on it from two different executive directors of two different PACs, political action committees. Neither one of these directors were particularly enamored by Governor Gretchen Whitmer's economic development vision, which featured a proposed research and development tax credit, a new tax capture program for small and second stage businesses to keep more of their payroll income taxes as part of funding for the Innovation Fund and to create and assist high growth startups here in the state of Michigan. We're going to break all that down from the State of the State address and these two PAC directors and what they think. Short break, a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TruckerRandy, or call 800-654-9659.
Presqu'ile Electric and Gas Co-op has been committed to bringing a brighter future to members for more than 85 years. That's why we're hard at work to create a future-focused fiber broadband network that will connect rural Michigan to the world. PIE and G-Connect will offer the fastest speeds and most reliable internet available in Northeast Michigan. The future is fiber, powered by Presqu'ile Electric and Gas Co-op. Sign up today at PIEGConnect.com.
Had enough of career politicians? I have. Hi, I'm Dr. Sherry O'Donnell, running for U.S. Senate. It is time to cure Washington of politics as usual. I have the backbone, knowledge, and guts to fix illegal immigration, inflation, and national security. I will protect our freedoms. It is time we cure what ails America. Vote Dr. Sherry O'Donnell for U.S. Senate. Paid for by Dr. Sherry for Senate.
Take out the paper. Little Traverse Disposal in Harbor Springs supports this radio station, and we would like you to support them. Little Traverse Disposal is locally owned with hardworking guys that provide professional trash disposal for your home or business. You're already spending the money. Why not support a Northern Michigan-owned company who supports us? So call them today at 231-487-0780. Again, 231-487-0780.
Everybody, welcome back into the show. Second segment of hour number three. And this is interesting because this statement is exactly what went through my mind as I was listening to the State of the State address last week by Governor Gretchen Whitmer. Abby Mitch, Michigan Rising Action PAC, said, when I heard her trickle-down economic plan, basically, I was sort of wondering to myself whether or not this was another run at the 1980s big hit puns that just didn't land. Of course, referencing the governor's latest strategy for economic development to her 80s music theme, State of the State Address. I simply don't see how more corporate welfare for one or two industries is going to lift our overall economic condition. At the end of the day, what people want is not to be $11,000 in the hole after working all year long. We're falling further and further behind no matter how hard we work. Again, catering to certain industries, talking about research and development tax credits. Well, even various Republicans have advocated for these type of R&D tax credits, ultimately replacing direct grant awards to businesses with more tax exemptions for everybody. Of the conservative principles the nonprofit Michigan Rising Action is promoting, said some of the governor's ideas are not bad overall, but when you put them together, actually turn out being bad ideas in a vacuum. If you don't have a business climate that is healthy, where you can capitalize on a glut of research and development, capitalize on a glut of people employed with high-paying, good-quality, long-lasting jobs, you're basically putting the state into a financial hole by giving these business tax cuts, Mitch said, without any real growth in the economy or diversity in the economy. Now, the contrary voice to all of this, a former regional political organizer for the Michigan Democratic Party, Taylor said in her current role, involves pushing for new funding for public services. However, he said that he could echo some of the things that Abby mentioned in her discussion. He mentioned, for one, lack of transparency affiliated with the economic development funds that are now being overseen by the state government, with residents having a difficult time trusting elected officials where they spend billions of dollars, many of which are distributed into Michigan's business climate. For example, we talked about this back when it occurred, December of 21. The Strategic Outreach and Attraction Reserve Fund, cute little acronym, comes out to be SOAR, designed to attract large-scale business projects to Michigan with performance-based grants. But then there's no follow-up to determine whether or not they met these performance-based requirements. Initially, they created this fund in December of 21, and they took $1 billion from the general fund to set it up. Well, in the fourth bill the governor signed in the 23-24 legislative term, House Bill 4001, a total of $1.425 billion was additionally dedicated to the fund, all making it available for fiscal years 2023, 2024, and possibly heading into this next budget of 2025. Taylor went on to say, honestly, we're picking winners and losers, and we have to find a better way in terms of economic development. The governor made a concentrated effort to make sure that the business community understood that she is still on board with a lot of the things that are happening. But you have to keep an eye on this, especially going into an election year. Again, this illustrated a need for a comfortable business community, but it comes after the governor's council that she put together. Growing Michigan Together Council was supposed to report to the legislature calling for more statewide housing and public transportation options, as well as an overhaul of the state's education system. But they did it without providing any distinct funding recommendations. Okay, let's stop. That's right. Let's put on the brakes. Let's blow the brakes off. Let's sit and idle for a second. Statewide housing projects and public transportation. Can anybody please show me where in the Michigan State Constitution it says we should be involved as a state government in housing projects and public transportation? Public roads, yes. Public transportation, no. Buses. Folks, I'm in Traverse City 2 to 3 times a week. Beta buses that run over there in Traverse City, basically empty. Maybe 1 or 2 riders. And who are they? Usually, and I'm not being discriminatory in this statement, it's obvious, you can see them, they're sitting in the front, right by the door, in a wheelchair. Now, why are they forced to use public transportation? Because it's very difficult to get a wheelchair in and out of a personal vehicle. I don't care whether it's a car, a truck, a SUV, a van, whatever. Unless you have a very expensive drop-down lift, you're not getting a wheelchair into a normal four-wheeler. These buses, they have ramps that absolutely open up, drop down, and accept wheelchairs. What percentage of the population do we have that people are actually literally bound to a wheelchair, can't be removed out of the chair lifted into a vehicle, put them into a regular seat? How many situations do we have existing in the state of Michigan? Very small percentage of the population. But yet the governor is laser focused on public transportation options. Why? Because their agenda. They don't want us driving cars. They especially don't want us driving gas-powered cars. They want us buying electric vehicles that we can't afford. We can't afford to get the electrical charging units in our homes, and we can't pay the electric bill. See, you have to understand that her agenda, her political agenda, doesn't line up with reality here in the state of Michigan. Statewide housing. Well, maybe we're overtaxed and overregulated, Governor, and that's why the private sector hasn't came out with more affordable housing projects. Maybe property taxes are too high. Maybe the interest rates have gone up too much on mortgages, not making housing affordable. So this is something that she feels the government should get involved in. 100,000 new affordable housing projects basically paid for with our taxpayer dollars. You see, you have to understand that there are things heading up for this upcoming budget that, depending on the outcome of these special elections that are happening soon, they've got to win both of those Democrat seats back. There's people out there working very hard to get the Republican elected, especially in Warren, Michigan. Somewhat of a 50-50 district. If the Republicans are able to get the Republican elected in that district, in that state house district, and Westland is obviously going to be replaced with a Democrat, you know what we could end up with, folks? The continuation of gridlock. Right now it's 54-54. They're not doing anything legislatively in Lansing right now. Here we are at the end of the month. Today is Tuesday. They're supposed to be there working on the budget, working on legislation. None of the news reports I was monitoring this morning before the show indicate any of that's happening. Why? Because we have gridlock. It's 54-54 right now. Until we get past these elections, find out if the Democrats win both seats and get back to 56-54, business as usual from last year, we'll have to wait and see. Both of these consultants, executive director of these PACs, were additionally concerned about the governor's proposed $5,000 tax credit for caregiver services aimed at residents that care for seriously ill or aging relatives. And also, the announcement of her pre-K four-year-olds all going to public schools and 2 years of free community college to any college or high school graduate wanting to go to college. Pre-K through 14 now is what the governor wants this legislative year. Again, ask the question, Governor, where are you getting the money for it? Would single moms who have to take their four-year-olds to daycare right now truly appreciate dropping the kids off at school a year earlier? Absolutely. Would save them a ton of money on daycare. Would high school seniors getting ready to graduate love to go to a community college to get an associate's degree absolutely free and then maybe transfer to a four-year university, which we have set up in this state? You bet they would. Again, Governor, how are you going to pay for it? The China virus, $9 billion surplus, you spent it. You and the Democrats, and even some Republicans. Again, John DeMuth, Senator DeMuth, I'm still waiting to hear an answer. $15 million grant to study fresh water in Traverse City. Can you please come on the show and explain that to us? Who got the money? What are they doing with $15 million? Anytime you want to come on the show, John, you're welcome. And then lastly, let's get into this last component of this story. How is it exactly that the governor did not mention paid family leave or lowering drug costs? How was that left out of the State of the State address? What does it mean? Well, the very far left progressives wanted it done last year. In 2023, they didn't get it done. Why? Because the cost was going to be astronomical to small businesses. Paid family leave, 15 days. Every employee in your company would be able to take 15 days off and get paid to stay home for paid family leave. Lowering drug costs. That's a whole nother debate having to do with pharmaceuticals. We're going to get to the wrap-up of this story on the other side. Bottom of the hour news of hour number 3. We'll be right back.